Hello, I'm Virginia Voice volunteer Ray Gallagher, and welcome to our weekly reading of the Richmond Free Press. Today I'm reading from the richmondfreepress.org website, beginning with the most recent news from page one. Our first story today, Pharrell Williams Project to film in Virginia. An untitled Pharrell Williams feature film from Universal Pictures will film throughout central and coastal Virginia this spring and summer, according to Virginia's governor's office. The coming-of-age musical is set in Virginia Beach in the summer of 1977 and inspired by Atlantis Apartments, Mr. Williams' childhood neighborhood. Kelvin Harrison Jr. is set to star, with Michael Gondry directing the project based on a script by Martin Hines, Toy Story 4, The Magician's Elephant, and Stephen Levinson's Tick, Tick, Boom. Pharrell Williams and Mimi Valdez will produce through I Am Other, and Gil Netter from Just Mercy and The Blind Side will produce through Gil Netter Productions. This high-profile project will place a global spotlight on Virginia as both an incomparable place to visit and as a preferred destination for investment from this growing industry, said Governor Glenn Youngkin. The project will provide high-wage jobs, help retain our trained production workforce, and deliver an immediate economic impact shared across a variety of sectors, from construction to hospitality. We warmly welcome Pharrell and the team behind this groundbreaking project to Virginia. Tourism is a $30 billion per year industry in Virginia, and with this project, we are not only building our competitiveness in a high-growth sector, but we are also putting Virginia in a starring role in a feature-length visual love letter to the Commonwealth, said Secretary of Commerce and Trade Karen Merrick. Pharrell is more than a globally recognized artist. He is an inspirational person. Pharrell germinates and nurtures ideas, and then delivers results that have a positive impact on people's lives. With this project, he is creating a celebration of art, dreams, community, and his Virginia home that will be shared for years to come, said Andy Edmonds, director of the Virginia Film Office. It's an opportunity that is unparalleled for both our production industry and our powerful tourism sector alike. This project marks another major production choosing Virginia following recently filmed projects including seasons 1 and 2 of the Apple TV Plus series Swagger, filmed in Central Virginia and Hampton Roads, and the critically acclaimed series Dope Sick, filmed in Central Virginia and Clifton Forge. The film will be eligible to receive a Virginia Film Tax Credit or grant. The exact amount will be based on the number of Virginia workers hired, Virginia goods and services purchased, and deliverables including Virginia Tourism Promotions. Next for today, Jonathan Young resigns from RPS School Board. This from Darlene M. Johnson. Jonathan Young resigned from the Richmond Public School Board April 12th after it was revealed that a December 2023 incident between him and a 15-year-old female student resulted in the student filing a harassment complaint against him. Few experiences have been as rewarding as for 8 years fighting for Richmond's teachers and students, and though I can brag on some success, it's no secret that at Richmond Public Schools we are coming up short, said Mr. Young, who joined the school board in 2016 and represented the 4th District. What our stakeholders need to know is why and whom to blame. In 3 words, the school board. After Mr. Young's resignation, the Free Press requested statements from all remaining school board officials, including Superintendent Jason Comras. No one responded. In a statement to WRIC, 3rd District RPS School Board member Kenya Gibson said, "My heart goes out to this student and their family. Coming forward with a complaint against a board member is not easy. I hope this resignation provides some closure." On a field trip for the Girls Mean Business Summit, an event sponsored by the Metro Business League, Mr. Young interacted with the student in a way that made her uncomfortable, according to a report by the Richmond Times-Dispatch. During the event, Mr. Young approached the student multiple times and, at some point, took a selfie with her that he posted online. Mr. Young has often taken selfies with students and posted them to his social media. This includes students from Virginia State University, where he is the director for corporate relations. Mr. Young was not found to have broken harassment policies after an independent attorney's investigation. The attorney, Jim Gwynn Jr., interviewed staff and students who described Mr. Young's behavior weird and odd. However, those interviewed did not refer to this behavior as sexual. The RPS school board discussed modifying policies regarding school board member conduct following the investigation and further discussion that will take place during a school board meeting on April 22nd. Attorney Gwynn suggested there may have been a misunderstanding between the student and Mr. Young. If the student were older than 15, I might be inclined to find that she was overly sensitive to the situation, but it's clear that she did not understand why this gentleman was trying so hard to engage her in a conversation, the attorney said. At the time of his interview, Mr. Young appeared to have recognized the discomfort the student felt and indicated that he would change his style of interaction depending upon the age of students. Prior to Mr. Young's resignation, he issued a statement to the Free Press about the incident. To be transparent, I really appreciate the feedback that was recently shared with me regarding how I greet faculty, staff, and students and how my enthusiasm could be viewed as something else, Mr. Young said in the statement. For my duration on the school board, my motive has always been to create an inclusive and welcoming environment, to introduce myself just as Jonathan, someone genuinely motivated to treat every conversation and every person like who they are, but I have learned that, at times, some may not be comfortable. My desire remains always to protect our teachers and students. I welcome the feedback, and I have learned from it. Also before Mr. Young's resignation, 5th District Representative and School Board Chair Stephanie Rizzi provided a statement as an individual not representing the school board. Because this is a sensitive matter involving a student record that should not have been made public, out of respect for all parties involved, I can offer no further commentary, Ms. Rizzi said. The Free Press also reached out to RPS's media relations team before and after Mr. Young's resignation. Alyssa Schwenk, Director of Communications for RPS, said, RPS as a division does not comment on personnel or student matters. The RPS school board is now seeking candidates to serve in the interim for the 4th District until voters fill the vacancy at the general election in November. The deadline for applications is April 30th, and selected candidates will be interviewed during the May 6th school board meeting. The school board will vote on the interim candidates during the May 20th school board meeting. Also today, from the Associated Press, O.J. Simpson has been cremated, a state attorney in Las Vegas says. No public memorial is planned. Former football star and celebrity criminal defendant O.J. Simpson was cremated Wednesday, the lawyer handling his estate said, following his death last week at home in Las Vegas at age 76. Attorney Malcolm Laverne told the Associated Press he was present, along with unspecified other people, for the morning event at Palm Mortuary in downtown Las Vegas. I am able to verify that O.J. Simpson was cremated today, Mr. Laverne said shortly thereafterward. Others were present, but I'm not disclosing who. He declined to provide details of the process. A telephone message for Palm Mortuary was not immediately returned. Mr. Laverne is handling Mr. Simpson's trust and estate in Nevada State Court. He said Mr. Simpson's cremains will be given to Mr. Simpson's children to do with as they please, according to the wishes of their father. No public memorial was planned, the attorney said. Mr. Simpson died April 10th after he was diagnosed last year with prostate cancer. Mr. Laverne said in a Tuesday interview that he visited Mr. Simpson just before Easter at the country club home where Mr. Simpson leased southwest of the Las Vegas Strip and described Mr. Simpson as awake, alert, and chilling, sitting on a couch, drinking a beer, and just catching up on the news. On April 5th, a doctor told Mr. Laverne that Mr. Simpson was transitioning, as the attorney described it, and by last week, Mr. Simpson only had strength to ask for water and to choose to watch a TV golf tournament instead of a tennis match. A post on April 11th from Mr. Simpson's family on X, formerly Twitter, said Mr. Simpson succumbed to his battle with cancer. It asked on their behalf for privacy and grace. You have to remember that they've shared O.J. with the world their entire lives, Mr. Laverne said Tuesday of Mr. Simpson's surviving adult children of his first marriage, Arnell Simpson, now 55, and Jason Simpson, 53, and the children Mr. Simpson had with ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson before she was killed in 1994, Sidney Simpson, 38, and Justin Simpson, 35. And they have the added burden that he is one of the most famous people on the planet, and who is polarizing and who is surrounded by controversy. Mr. Simpson's children are the only beneficiaries of his estate, Mr. Laverne said, adding he is now working to determine the value of Mr. Simpson's assets. He said Tuesday that Mr. Simpson did not own a home in states where he had lived, including Nevada, California, and Florida. Mr. Simpson was a record-setting football star during 11 years as a running back in the NFL and became a movie actor, sportscaster, and television advertising pitchman before he was famously acquitted of criminal charges alleging he stabbed his ex-wife and her friend, Ronald Goldman, to death in 1994 in Los Angeles. The proceedings in California in 1996 became known as the Trial of the Century. Mr. Simpson was found liable for the deaths in 1997 by a separate California civil court jury and was ordered to pay the families of Mr. Simpson's slain ex-wife and Mr. Goldman $33.5 million in compensation. Mr. Laverne acknowledged Mr. Simpson died without paying the bulk of that judgment. In Las Vegas, Mr. Simpson went to prison in 2008 for 9 years after being found guilty of armed robbery in a 2007 encounter at a casino hotel with two collectibles dealers. He was released from prison in October 2017 and lived a golf and country club lifestyle in Las Vegas, sometimes offering social media posts about sports and golf. His last message was on February 11th, when the NFL Championship Super Bowl was played in Las Vegas. He did not attend the game. Attorney David Cook, representing the Goldman family, said Tuesday he thought the civil judgment owed today, including unpaid interest, is more than $114 million. Mr. Laverne said he believed the amount was more than $200 million and that Mr. Simpson's assets won't amount to that. Mr. Laverne said he intends to invite representatives of the Goldman and Brown families to, quote, view my homework with the Simpson estate, with the caveat that if they believe something else is out there, they're going to have to use their own attorneys, their own resources, to try and chase down that pot of gold. This is a reminder, you are listening to the Richmond Free Press, read from the Richmond Free Press website. And we will be continuing on today with Robinson Day means so much to many. This from Fred Jeter. Jackie Robinson Day honors the courageous and wondrously talented man who broke baseball's color barrier. On April 15, 1947, Robinson, then a 28-year-old rookie, broke in with the Brooklyn Dodgers and became the first black player of the modern era. From the 1880s until Robinson's arrival at Ebbets Field, a gentleman's agreement among owners had boycotted athletes of color. Along with April 15th, here are some other key dates regarding the once-in-a-generation athlete and civil rights icon. Robinson was born January 31, 1919, in Cairo, Georgia, the son of sharecroppers. In 1920, he moved with his mother and four siblings to Pasadena, California. In 1935, he enrolled as a freshman at John Muir Technical High in Pasadena, where he was a multi-sports sensation, including tennis. In 1938, at Pasadena Junior College, he starred in multiple sports while setting the all-time JUCO record for the long jump, 25 feet 6 and a half inches, previously held by his brother Mac. The following year, in 1939, he enrolled at UCLA and became the school's first four-sport athlete, baseball, basketball, football, and track. In 1940, he won the NCAA long jump title with a leap of 24 feet and 10 and a quarter inches. In 1941, he he met his future wife, Rachel Isom. In 1942, he was drafted by the U.S. Army and assigned to segregated Fort Riley in Kansas. Another soldier there was boxing champ Joe Lewis. In 1945, he signed with the Kansas City Monarchs of Negro National League. In 1946, he signed a historic contract with Brooklyn general manager Branch Rickey, becoming the sport's first black athlete since the 1880s. That same year, he made his pro debut against all-white team in Dodgers exhibition in Daytona Beach, Florida. He wasn't allowed to stay in the same hotel as his teammates. Again in 1946, he played a full season with Montreal Royals, the Dodgers' top farm club of the International League. In 1947, he joined the Dodgers, wearing number 42, earning Rookie of the Year honors while helping Brooklyn win the National League title. In 1947 and 1949, he became the National League stolen base leader. And in 1948, he won the NL MVP. By 1951, Brooklyn had become Black America's team, as Robinson is joined by two future Hall of Famers, pitcher Don Newcomb and catcher Roy Campanella. By the mid-1950s, he had helped the Dodgers defeat the Yankees in the World Series and retired from baseball with a .313 average, 141 homers, 761 RBI, 200 stolen bases, and 6 All-Star appearances by 1956. Some years later in 1962, he was named to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and 10 years later in 1972, he died in Stamford, Connecticut at age 53. In 2004, Major League Baseball honored Robinson by retiring his number 42 jersey across all teams. Every April 15th, every player, coach, and umpire wears number 42 with pride. And most recently in 2013, the movie 42 appeared in theaters with Chadwick Boseman as Robinson. Audiences polled by CinemaScore graded the movie an A+. Very similarly to Jackie Robinson, Whit Graves led the way locally. Whit A. Graves was the Jackie Robinson of Richmond. A right-handed pitcher and native Richmonder, Graves in 1953 became the first black player for a Richmond pro team. Graves posted a 6-12 record with a 6.34 earned run average in 159 innings for the 1953 Richmond Colts, a member of the Class B Piedmont League. The Colts played at Moores Field and were loosely affiliated from time to time with the New York Giants and Philadelphia Athletics. In 1954, Graves pitched for the Colonial Heights Petersburg Colts at Shepherd Stadium. Following retirement, Graves became a forklift operator for Philip Morris. He passed away in 1997 at age 70 and is buried in Maury Cemetery. Next for today, Faith Ringgold, pioneering black quilt artist and author, dies at 93. This from the Associated Press. Faith Ringgold, an award-winning author and artist who broke down barriers for black female artists and became famous for her richly colored and detailed quilts combining painting, textiles, and storytelling, has died at 93. The artist's assistant, Grace Matthews, told the Associated Press that Miss Ringgold died Friday night at her home in Englewood, New Jersey. Miss Matthews said Miss Ringgold had been in failing health. Miss Ringgold's highly personal works of art can be found in private and public collections around the country and beyond, from the Smithsonian's National Museum of American Art to New York's Museum of Modern Art and Atlanta's High Museum of Fine Art. But her rise to prominence as a black artist wasn't easy in an art world dominated by white males and in a political culture where black men were the leading voices for civil rights. A founder in 1971 of the Where We At Artists Collective for Black Women, Miss Ringgold became a social activist, frequently protesting the lack of representation of black and female artists in American museums. "I became a feminist out of disgust for the manner in which women were marginalized in the art world," she told the New York Times in 2019. I began to incorporate this perspective into my work with a particular focus on black women as slaves and their sexual exploitation. In her first illustrated children's book, Tar Beach, the spirited heroine takes flight over the George Washington Bridge. The story symbolized women's self-realization and freedom to confront this huge masculine icon, the bridge, she explained. The story is based on her narrative quilt of the same name, now in the permanent collection of the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum in New York. While her works often deal with issues of race and gender, their folk-like style is vibrant, optimistic, and lighthearted, and often reminiscent of her warm memories of her life in Harlem. Miss Ringgold introduced quilting into her work in the 1970s after seeing brocaded Tibetan paintings called thangkas. They inspired her to create patchwork fabric borders, or frames, with handwritten narrative around her canvas acrylic paintings. For her 1982 story quilt, Who's Afraid of Aunt Jemima, Miss Ringgold confronted the struggles of women by undermining the black mammy stereotype and telling the story of a successful African-American businesswoman called Jemima Blakely. Aunt Jemima conveys the same negative connotation as Uncle Tom, simply because of her looks, she told the New York Times in a 1990 interview. Soon after, Miss Ringgold produced a series of 12 quilt paintings titled The French Collection, again weaving narrative, biographical, and African-American cultural references and Western art. One of the works in the series, Dancing at the Louvre, depicts Miss Ringgold's daughters dancing in the Paris Museum, seemingly oblivious to the Mona Lisa and other European masterpieces on the walls. In other works in the series, Miss Ringgold depicts giants of black culture such as poet Langston Hughes alongside Pablo Picasso and other European masters. Among her socially conscious works is a three-paneled 9/11 peace story quilt that Miss Ringgold designed and constructed in collaboration with New York City students for the 10th anniversary of the September 11 attacks. Each of the panels contains 12 squares with pictures and words that address the question, "What will you do for peace?" It was exhibited at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. In 2014, her Groovin' High, a depiction of a crowded, energetic dance hall evocative of Harlem's famous Savoy Ballroom, was featured on a billboard alongside New York City's High Line Park. Miss Ringgold also created a number of public works, people portraits, comprised of 52 individual glass mosaics representing figures in sports, performance, and music, adorns the Los Angeles Civic Center subway station. Flying Home, Harlem Heroes and Heroines, are two mosaic murals in a Harlem subway station that featured figures such as Dinah Washington, Sugar Ray Robinson, and Malcolm X. In one of her recent books, Harlem Renaissance Party, Miss Ringgold introduces young readers to Mr. Hughes and other black artists of the 1920s. Other children's books have featured Rosa Parks, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and the Underground Railroad. Born in Harlem in 1930, Miss Ringgold was the daughter of a seamstress and dress designer with whom she collaborated often. She attended City College of New York, where she earned her bachelor's and master's degrees in art. She was a professor of art at the University of California in San Diego from 1987 until 2002. Miss Ringgold's motto, posted on her website, states, "If one can, anyone can. All you gotta do is try." And finally for today, Hampton University announces a new president. From Jeremy M. Lazarus. A former three-star Army general has been tapped to become the next president of Hampton University. He is retired Lieutenant General Darrell K. Williams, a 1983 Hampton University graduate who has commanded Fort Lee and also was the first black officer to lead the Defense Logistics Agency, the U.S. military's massive supply arm. Hampton University's Board of Trustees, which received nearly 300 applications, announced on Wednesday the 61-year-old Florida native as the successor for the university's longest-serving president, Dr. William R. Harvey, who will step down June 30th. Lieutenant General Williams will take over July 1st from Dr. Harvey, who built the private historically black university into a nationally recognized institution during his 44-year tenure. Wesley A. Coleman, also known as Wes, who chairs Hampton's board, called Lieutenant General Williams the ideal choice to handle the complexities of running a university. When President Harvey told us of his decision to retire, we knew we wanted to build on what he has accomplished, Mr. Coleman stated. We embarked on a search for a proven strategic leader. He stated Lieutenant General Williams will bring to the university 4 decades of experience in leading complex military enterprises, as well as experience with nonprofits and academia. Mr. Coleman said that Lieutenant General Williams' expertise and knowledge can only help to move our institution forward in a global world increasingly dependent on technology. The new president will take over a university that reports annual enrollment of 3,600 students, offers 50 bachelor's degree programs, 25 master's degree programs, and 9 doctoral programs, operates 16 research centers, including a freestanding proton beam cancer treatment center, and a satellite campus in Virginia Beach. Lieutenant General Williams said it is his honor to be offered the opportunity to return to serve as the 13th president of his college alma mater, a school that was founded in 1868 to educate and provide occupational training to black people who had been freed after the Union victory in the Civil War 3 years earlier. I'm thrilled to have been selected as the next president, Lieutenant General Williams stated, and I will work tirelessly with students, faculty, staff, alumni, and the broader community to prepare our graduates for today and for the continuously evolving technology-driven workforce of tomorrow. Lieutenant General Williams retired from the Army in 2020 after leading the logistics agency where he oversaw a global workforce of 26,000 and $40 billion in yearly expenditures. Based in Alexandria, he is currently a vice president of the Northern Virginia-based technology firm Leidos, and directs the company's work with Great Britain's Ministry of Defense to provide logistical support to that country's military forces. He earned master's degrees from Penn State University, the Armed Combined and General Staff College, and National War College. Lieutenant General Williams began his Army career at Hampton, where he joined the Reserve Officer Training Corps as a scholarship cadet. He also joined Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity's campus chapter and served as senior class president for the class of 1983. That's all the time we have today for the Richmond Free Press. Thank you for joining us. I'm Ray Gallagher for the Virginia Voice, and you can listen to this program on demand anytime at www.virginiavoice.org.